Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. Today's date is Thursday, January 21st, 2021, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting. Today, we're reading from the Big Book. We're in the chapter More About Alcoholism on page 31, reading paragraph 2. Which begins with, here are some of the methods we have tried. Today's readers are Anne Marie M. for the 12 Steps, Audrey M. P. for the 12 Traditions, Brandy M., Lorraine N., and Wendy B. Matt J. F. will greet our newcomers and get numbers from available sponsors after our recording is ended, and Robin P. will close us out with some important announcements. Okay, the reference number for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting, that would be for Wednesday, January 20th, is 16231. And the reference number for this morning's 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting for Thursday, January 21st, is 16242. That's 16,242, and I'm sorry, I forgot to repeat what yesterday's 10 a.m. meeting, it was 16,231. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Anne Marie M. to please read the 12 steps.
Good morning, Elaine. This is Anne Marie M., compulsive overeater, the 12 steps. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Thank you very much, Anne Marie M. And I will now ask Audrey MP to please read the 12 traditions.
Good morning, Team Thursday, and thank you, Elaine B. I'm Audrey MP, a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California, and these are the 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscious. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Audrey M.P. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only, please. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted using star 1, please. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We're in the chapter More About Alcoholism. We're on page 31, reading paragraph 2. And I'm going to ask Brandy M. to please begin reading.
Good morning. It's Brandy M., recovered compulsive overeater from Sher Park, Alberta, Canada. Here are some of the methods we have tried: drinking only beer, limiting the number of drinks, never drinking alone, never drinking in the morning, drinking only at home, never having it in the house, never drinking during business hours, drinking only at parties, switching from scotch to brandy, drinking our only natural.
Brandy M., can you please press star 1?
Do you hear me now?
I hear you.
Hi, Brandy. We lost you at, I forgot. Only drinking. I'm sorry. You could just start again if you like.
Here are some of the methods we have tried: drinking beer only, limiting the number of drinks, never drinking alone, never drinking in the morning, drinking only at home, never having it in the house, never drinking during business hours, drinking only at parties, switching from scotch to brandy, drinking only natural wines, agreeing to resign if ever drunk on the job, taking a trip, not taking a trip, swearing it off forever, with and without a solemn oath, taking more physical exercise, reading inspirational books, going to health farms and sanitariums, accepting voluntary commitments to asylums. We could increase the list at infinitum. Wow. Yeah, so how I relate this to my disease is, you know, looking at the things that I've tried in order to control it, the methods that I've tried that kept failing me, you know, my willpower. I heard so many times, you know, if you just have the willpower to just stop, like just push away from the table, put down the fork, you know, well, I'm a type 3 compulsive overeater, the real deal, and that never worked for me. You know, I tried resolutions, oaths, promises, you know, waking up in the morning and promise I'm not going to do that again today. You know, oaths that, you know, if I ever did that, then, you know, I mean, just silly things, right? Anything. Mindful eating, like, oh, if I just be present while I eat, maybe that will be enough. Therapy, and you know, therapy helped with a lot of things, but it never helped with my food addiction. Self-knowledge, you know, I know this book, I know all the principles of the program, I know that stuff, why am I still not getting it? You know, relationships, maybe if I just had the perfect relationship, you know, I could put down the food if I wanted it bad enough. You know, I would always say, like, I have kids, like, why can't I put it down, why can't I stop? 90 meetings in 90 days, you know, meetings never got me sober or well. You know, they helped me work the steps, but most of the time I was going to meetings and not working the steps. And, you know, when I look at all of these things, it's like, this is the resume of an untreated addict. This is how I showed up all the time in life. This is what consumed my mind, consumed, you know, every thought. It was either, you know, how was I going to stop eating? How was I going to lose weight? How was I not going to live in the body? You know, I could, and like, then it was like, well, maybe if I just accepted where I am or accepted that, you know, maybe I'm going to be fat, maybe then I could stop. And those things never worked. And, you know, there were so many consequences of those behaviors. And, you know, really all that means to me is how powerless I am. Those things are what showed me my powerlessness. And if I ever question, you know, whether or not I have power in this disease, I need to go back to those lists of the things I've tried to control this and never had permanent recovery or never had, like, you know, any sort of recovery. And I've lost so much because of this addiction, you know, time, family, spouses, children, friends, like, you know, increase the list, intelligence, just mental, you know, clarity, all of that stuff is a loss because of this disease. And, you know, often whenever I am working with newcomers, it's like, let's look at these lists. Let's see how well we were doing. This is where my best thinking could get me. And, so today I'm just so grateful I don't have to live in this place. You know, I can live in, you know, peace and serenity, and how can I be helpful to others and, you know, show up in this world today as God would have me be. So with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Brandy M. Great start to a powerful meeting. All right. I'm assuming it'll be powerful. It's a powerful paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you haven't shared since Monday, please press star 1 to unmute. Let us know you'd like to get in the lineup.
Chris,
Larry G.
Anne Marie.
I heard Chrissy, Larry G, and Anne Marie. And Chrissy, what was your initial of your last name?
M as in Mary.
Chrissy M. I got room for three more. Anybody else want to jump on?
Laureen W.
Laureen W.
Nikki P.
Nikki P.
Lydia T.
One more. And Lydia T. That's going to do us for now. Thank you all. All right. I got Chrissy M. followed by Larry G. Anne Marie M. Laureen W. Nikki P. and Lydia T. Wow, I can even read my own writing. Please start us off, Chrissy M. If you're not Chrissy M., please press star 1 to unmute. And if you are Chrissy M., please press star 1 so you can get on the line. Chrissy M. Star 1, please. Okay, perhaps somehow we lost Chrissy M. Let's go to Larry G. and then we'll come back to Chrissy, okay? Larry G., star 1 to unmute, please.
Okay, my name's Larry G. We seem to have lost our Chrissy M. I am a recovered compulsive eater and so grateful to be on this call this morning. And thank you, Elaine, for your wonderful service. The reader really kicked this meeting off. What a spirited share. Ad infinitum, you know, I'm seeing that it just doesn't stop because I'm recovered. And I this might be sacrilegious with a vision for you, but I don't believe that just because I'm recovered, I'm suddenly, all of the old thinking goes away. I think it, for me, it's a educational variety. It goes away gradually. Like, for example, this morning, I do my plan of eating, and then I send it off to somebody who accepts it each day. And what I discovered is I don't go in the kitchen and actually look at what food's available or what combination of foods I want to eat for the day or what my body needs. So I'm doing this off-site. And many times I've got to add something because one or two things. I'm like a child that sees a new shining object. Oh, that looks better than this food, or I'll make the change, or I forgot to add something. And thank God for recovered people in this program who say, you know, that's odd that you're adding that. And it makes me stop to think, because this old behavior that I pursue to the gates of insanity, the ad finitum, old behavior, I'm starting to discover as my mind has defogged, and I feel like it's defogged. I feel like I'm really awake. I've been coming to vision since May of last year. I feel like I'm really awake, and I'm really willing. I want to get this because I think a vision for you sets the bar pretty high. It reminds me a lot of my meetings at Alcoholics Anonymous, where in AA, you know, we look at these behaviors. It's called unsober-like behaviors. It's restless, irritable, discontent. And so I just learned something new about myself today, that I'm going to get out of the room and go in the kitchen and thoughtfully plan my plan of eating. Like, it's a priority, because without abstinence, everything else in my life is meaningless. So why wouldn't I spend the time and effort planning out my food for the day, like I do my budget, my personal finance, because without the abstinence, I don't have the personal finances. I mean, they're so interrelated. Anyway, thank you for listening to this dribble, and I want to give a shout out to all the new people. I hope you keep coming back. Thank you.
Thank you very much. No dribble in there. That was great. Thank you so much. And Anne-Marie M., you're up next. Oh, no, wait a second. Let's see if we can get Chrissy M. back on the line here. Chrissy M., can you please press star one to unmute?
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now. Thank you. Okay. Please go ahead.
Yeah, you know, doesn't this thing do weird, the phones do weird stuff. I thought I was unmuted, but I wasn't before. But anyway, thank you so much for getting back to me. My name is Chris M. I am a recovered compulsive eater from New York, and I'm very grateful to be on this meeting today. So, yeah, I mean, I tried all kinds of stuff, and I wasn't a quantity eater, so I wasn't a binger, I wasn't overeating with bags and boxes and, you know, tubs of stuff. I started out as a restrictor as a teenager, and when I got married and got pregnant and all of a sudden I was heavy, then came the battle to lose the weight and all of that. So, yeah, I've tried all kinds, not a lot of diet clubs, one diet club, but just a lot of like modifying and rearranging my life and going to like new age type of spiritual things and like behavior modifications and, you know, oh, if I go back to school and get my degree finally, then that'll fix my mind. I really felt like there was something wrong with my brain and my mind that caused me to eat the foods that I knew weren't good for me, the sugars and the flours and the starches and all of that, which I knew were causing me to gain weight. And I knew that the sugar made me feel crazy, and I knew the next morning I had a hangover, but really my thought was, I don't overeat that stuff, so I should be able to eat a piece of cake. And I fought that for 34 years. Why, God, you know, I'm not a quantity eater. I I'll eat health food. I mean, man, I could tell you anything about nutrition and eating healthy and all the different alternatives to white flour and sugar and all of that. And so I went around and around with that for 34 years. And all now that I look back, I realize my nerves and I was just a ball of knots. I was this anxious fearful person, and the adrenaline was surging through my body and trying to push me forward, and you've got to find an answer. And boy, I was really persistent, you know, and I think, you know, we don't give ourselves enough credit for being so persistent with trying to figure this out. But, you know, looking in the wrong place all the time. I was looking in the wrong place. And I came into OA when I was 23 years old after the birth of my first child, and I was 30 pounds overweight and mortified. And still, I think OA gave me relief, just enough relief that I felt like, okay, you know, it's not so bad. It's not so bad. I'll work on this. But I'm going to pick and choose, you know, what I want to do, because I don't really identify completely with this whole,
gentle reminder.
Thank you. This whole, you know, these people that eat this tons of food. But now that I've accepted that this is the place to work on my recovery, you know, I'm free of that fear and that worry. And I, when that stuff starts to come up, it's a sign to me that I got to look at something that I'm trying to control again. So thank you. Have a wonderful day, Apa.
Thank you very much, Chris M. Sorry about getting your name wrong, but so glad you could share. Anne-Marie M., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Lauren W.
Good morning, Elaine. It's Anne-Marie M., a recovering compulsive overeater through God's grace. Thank you so much. I had next to this paragraph, identify, and I realized that I came in 88, so for the first 20 years of my program, I had a really difficult time believing that sugar was a drug, or well, I guess it is like a drug, but sugar was addictive. I just fought that for like my 20 years. And during those 20 years is when I tried all the different diets and the hypnosis and the therapy. Those were the, you know, that was revolving. I kept coming back to OA though. You know, I just kept coming back, because everything wasn't working for me. But what I was doing was comparing. And even when reading Bill's story, he was an old man. I mean, he was in his 40s. You know, I thought he was so old, and he was a businessman, and I wasn't anything like him. And, you know, it wasn't until I read the big book with someone else who had read the big book with someone else who, you know, who had recovered, that I could understand and I learned how to identify. So it was so important for me to identify. And then not only have I tried everything else, trying to control my food, I have tried everything else to try to control my life. And I cannot do that. I need a power greater than myself to do that. And I need to turn to him. And I keep trying to do it on my own, just like I kept trying to do the food on my own, just thinking that, you know, this food is not addictive. You know, I have to rely on God. So this book is really, for me, a manual on how to live. I didn't know how to handle situations, and now I have steps, I have tools, I have a fellowship, and most importantly, I have a God that's loving to me that I can turn to. I need to remember, and I need to keep coming here, I need to remember that I cannot control people, places, and things. I certainly can't control the food, and I need rely on me. He's giving me this fellowship. He's giving people in my life that he speaks through. I hear his message through their voice. It's an amazing program. But I think that's about all I wanted to say. Thanks, Elaine.
Thank you very much, Anne-Marie. Awesome. All right, Lauren W., you're up next, followed by Nikki P.
Hi, Lorraine. This is Lorraine.
Sorry.
Lorraine W., and I am a compulsive overeater and addicted to sugar and other products. Elaine, thank you so much, and the rest of the group of Thursday. So this paragraph really relates a lot to my food. Limiting the number of things that I ate, and I would do that. I would limit, you know, the number. I would count, like calories. Never eating in the morning. I would wait because I was a grazer. So once I started eating, I wouldn't stop. So I would stop. I would not eat first thing in the morning and wait, but then the grazing would start. never having it in the house. I tried. And some items I cannot have in my home at all because they still call to me. Drinking during business hours. Well, I was, you know, told not to snack during work. So that's why I didn't snack during work. But drinking only at parties, I would save snacks for parties and justify. Say, well, it's part of my meal. Switching from scotch to brandy, well, I would switch different items in my food plan and just think that was fine. And agreeing to somebody telling me, you know, not resigned, ever drunk at work, not that didn't happen. However, I would ask people at work, if you see me gaining weight, please tell me. You know, I'm trying to have the control on other people at work rather than to deal with God, my higher power. Taking a trip or not taking a trip. Well, when I took a trip, I would make sure I knew where all the restaurants were, you know, or else that isn't a place I want to go. Swearing off forever, oh, so many times. God, I would pray at night, don't let me overeat, don't let me do this, don't let me do that, but not taking any. It's like faith without works is dead. That was me. I had faith in God, but I didn't want to do the work. And some of the programs I was in involved more exercise. You know, I would go to different gyms and think that was it. And, you know, some of these other things, I didn't do health farms or sanitariums, but not committed to an asylum, but knew that I was insane when it came to the food. And I did get into counseling, which helped me quite a bit about dealing with my other problems. However, this program of Visions for You has shown me over the past few years that I've been in the program how important it is to study and understand the text of Overeaters Anonymous. I really need to study this, and I'm working with a new sponsee right now, and we're reading it page by page together to go through it first before we actually do the steps. And it has helped me immensely. She's the third person I've gone through the steps, working through the steps with. And each time, it gives me more awareness of my disease and what I need to do. So thank you so much for being there today.
Thank you very much, Lorraine W. Awesome. Okay. Nikki P. is up next. She'll be followed by Lydia T., and then we're going to take some more people. We're sharing on page 31, paragraph 2, which begins with, here are some methods we have tried. So, Nikki P., star one to unmute. You're up next.
Hi, this is Nikki P., recovered in Northern California, and I've identified so much with what everybody is saying here today. Thank you for letting me share. One of the things that I thought of in this paragraph was one of the things that I tried many years ago was to give up chocolate. I thought if I could just give that up, I could get everything else under control. But of course, giving that up just led to binging on every other sweet that didn't include chocolate. And one of my coworkers at the time who I'd shared I was giving up chocolate, they said, I don't think giving up chocolate's helping you. You seem to be eating everything else. And I thought, oh, okay, that's true. What a logical thought. But I hadn't, I didn't have that logical mind. I was of the mind that when my pants got too tight, I bought bigger pants. It didn't ever occur to me there was a different solution. I tried pay and weigh over the years. At one point, having lost 50 pounds, but white knuckling the whole way. And I remember sitting in a parking lot of a grocery store, calling a friend who I also knew was struggling with weight and could understand, and in tears because I wanted somebody to stop me going inside that store because I knew what I was about to do was going to be harmful to me. And I'm grateful to that friend. I don't remember now if I went into the store or not, but I sure remember that conversation. Since finding OA, I have learned, one, it never occurred to me before that there was a power greater than myself or that it could be bothered with my food and my decisions in life and all of that. And so that is what I have got from this program, is that there is a power greater than myself. And thank goodness, because I am absolutely powerless myself over these things. And so I am so grateful to OA, and more specifically recently to Vision for You, for focusing my attention on the big book and really enhancing that spiritual part of this program. Without it, I wouldn't be recovered as I am today. And so I'm really grateful for that. And with that, I pass.
Oh, thank you so much. And sorry, I was unmuted when I was identifying in, and really appreciating your share with some laughter. So sorry about that. Thank you, Nikki P. All right, Lydia T. is up next. And after Lydia, we'll take another lineup for people who would like to share. Please go ahead, Lydia T.
Hi, this is Lydia T., recovered compulsive overeater in Marquette, Michigan. Thank you, everybody, for this meeting. Thank you for having it so I can dial in and get the support that I need. And, reading this paragraph, it describes me perfectly. I tried everything. I'm not going to list them because I tried everything. I at one point had this revelation. Why can't I just keep my mouth shut and stop eating? And I told the people I worked with that, and they thought it was very funny. But I couldn't. I could not. It didn't matter what it was I was eating, what I wasn't eating. I couldn't do it. But then when I read this, that what stands out to me, and what stands out to me with the shares from this morning and already on this meeting, is here are some of the methods we have tried. And when I realized that I have to stop trying, I have to let God do it for me. He can do for me what I cannot do for myself. That's the only thing that's ever worked for me. And when I think like that, then I say, okay, but who am I if I'm not the person who's continually trying to lose weight and on every other diet known to man and exercise? And who am I then? Who is Lydia if she's not on a diet, if she's not trying to lose weight, if I'm not trying to control other people's lives and, all of those things? And that's where the spiritual program comes in for me, is that I've tried everything. It never works. I need to let power do it for me. And then I need to figure out who I am and who am I now? I'm the person that needs to be of service to others, to my fellows, figure out what God's will for me is today, which sometimes is hard, sometimes it's easy. Sometimes I know right away what God's will for me when I wake up in the morning and have some quiet time. Other days I have to struggle. But listening to you guys, listening to my fellows, doing a daily 11th step, working step 10s when I need to, and doing step 12, because if I keep reading in this book, it will help me to remember, because I keep forgetting all the time. I have to continually be reading this manual because I forget. I think about it like a knitting pattern. If I'm making something, I need to keep looking at the pattern to see where I am so that my project comes out the way that it's supposed to and looks right. If I keep reading the book and relying on my higher power and being of service, thank you, and being of service, then maybe God's project, which is me and my life, will turn out the way that He intended it to turn out. So I just have to remember that, take myself out of the equation. Thank you all. I pass.
Thank you so much, Lydia T. Okay, though we value your experience, we ask you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you haven't shared since Monday and you'd like to share, please press star 1 to unmute. We have room for 5 people.
Tina G.
N. Tina G.
Stephanie
and somebody
N.
N. Stephanie
Britt
N.
Britt B.
Hang on a second. Britt.
Margot
B. W.
Britt, Margo, Terry, H, hang on a second. Okay, I think that's it. All right. Let's see. I got Tina G, Stephanie V, Britt, need the last name, Margot P, and Terry H or Terry A-H. I'm not sure which it was. Okay. So, Tina G, you're up next. You're up first, followed by Stephanie V. Please go ahead, Tina. And if you're not Tina, please press star one to unmute. I mean to mute. Thanks. Tina G? You might have accidentally got unmuted. Unmuted, Tina G. Please press star one. Star one to unmute, please, Tina.
You can hear me now?
Yay! Thank you.
Oh. It takes a little time. It's like that hammer, man. It's like, oh, I think I got it. Anyway, this is Tina G, raining from Ohio, Eastern Standard Time, in the process of recovering from compulsive overeating. You know, one of the things that I get out of this paragraph is like there's a million types of different excuses I can give myself to keep on using, you know. And I've tried about all of them, man. I mean, I've done POPs. I've done AYDS, when you ate the candy. I love that one. I've gotten my stomach stapled shut and gained 200 more pounds. I've done exceedingly and abundantly beyond all you could think or imagine just to keep on eating that one more bite. And, you know, the only thing that has, and I've been on this program for a long time, but I've never applied myself to the program. I've been on a fellowship. I'm going to say that, talking and mingling with people. Hey, hey, what's up, what's up? But never actually doing the program, going from preschool to college to university to working with people, reaching out, getting sponsees, and doing those other things that you're supposed to do when you've had the spiritual awakening. So, you know, before I even get to more about alcoholism, I have to go through the preface, and I have to do doctor's opinion and Bill's story, and there's a solution. And then I get up here, and I realize, man, I've been rationalizing the most outrageous sort of nonsense in my life. I can't take just one. I can't eat popcorn and go into a coma and think it's still okay for me to eat it the next day, saying, oh, I can put it down when I want to. It's like that test they tell us in there, just try some controlled eating for a minute. See if you can stop. You know, and if I look at it, I can't really stop. Not really. Not on my own willpower. I need guidance. I need a mentor. I need a sponsor. I need these steps. Before all, I need a guide of my understanding. But I can't get there until that big book, which was constructed by that big book, told me to write down these steps. So anyway, I want to thank you all for letting me share this morning. Thank my sponsor for being on here. I'm not telling who. But anyway, I just want to just really, I'm really grateful. Thanks a lot. Bye. I pass.
Thank you very much, Tina G. Okay, Stephanie V, you are up next, followed by Britt. Please go ahead, Stephanie. Stephanie V, star one to unmute, please.
Okay. Hi. It's Stephanie N.
Oops.
Stephanie. That's okay. Stephanie N, recovered in Kansas. And as I was looking at this list, I was thinking of all of the different methods I tried, and my disease manifested itself in a lot of ways. I was anorexic, bulimic, exercise bulimic, compulsive overeater, and just generally didn't feel comfortable in my skin and thought that if I could just control the food and look how I thought I needed to look, that I would be fine. And it was only in coming into the program and finding out that I had this allergy of the body and an obsession of the mind that helped me to understand why nothing ever worked. I would watch what my sister ate and think, if I just ate like her, then I would look like she looks. But when we would go to bed at night, she would stay in bed and I would go back down to the kitchen and get more because I had triggered the allergy. And I never knew this was happening. This happened for decades, you know, and it didn't matter who I lived with. When I was living at home and I was watching what my sister was eating, and then when I was in college and living with roommates and watching what they were eating and just wishing that I could eat like them and trying to eat like them and trying all these different methods and just thinking, okay, I just need more exercise. That's the key. Or I just need to go on a fast, or I need to do this or that, you know, just all of these different things. But really, I was never addressing the actual issue that I have this allergy of the body, and that anytime I'm ingesting those allergic substances, that I'm triggering the allergy and I will have this insatiable craving for more. And when I found that out, it made complete sense. And it was actually wonderful news to find that out. But of course, I was disappointed because I didn't want to give up those foods. I wanted to keep eating them. I wanted to be able to eat what I wanted and have the body that I wanted to have. And so I had to continue to pray for the willingness to let go of those foods and to have a new idea about living without those foods, because I couldn't imagine my life without those foods. But I'm very grateful for the steps because I have experienced that freedom. And now when I have an idea of, you know, oh, maybe I should try this, or maybe I should switch up my food plan, I know that I need to do a 10th step, and I reach out to my sponsor, and I can see that something is wrong with my internal condition, because I was always trying to fix my internal condition with exterior things, and it never worked. And so I'm grateful to be free of that insanity today, and I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Stephanie N. Okay, Britt, you are up next, followed by Margot P. Could we have the first initial of your last name?
V. Yes, I'm Britt V. Oh. In New Mexico, recovering compulsive overeater. I am so grateful for A Vision for You. I've been in and out of OA since I was in my late 20s. I'm now in my 50s. And A Vision for You is the first time that I've ever regarded the big book as a text. And that has made such a big difference in my life. I really loved the reading. I, like most of us, made many attempts to restrain or restrict or control my eating behaviors. And the only thing that really works is admitting my powerlessness, recognizing that only God can restore me to sanity, thy will, not mine, be done. And just learning to live in 10, 11, and 12. But I wanted to share something that I learned. I'm studying psychopharmacology during this semester. And a long time through my struggle with overeating, I've kind of discounted it. I've kind of said, you know, that's a lame addiction. You don't really have a case. It's not serious like something like illicit drugs or alcohol. But I'm here to tell you, it is serious. in my reading, there's been, within the last 5 years, a lot of scientific research done that has established, well-established, that high-fat, high-sugar processed foods, they operate in the same neural pathways as illicit drugs, same ones. But the difference is with these high-fat, high-sugar processed foods, is that the response, the dopamine response, it wanes over time, and then we go for more and more and more. And this disease, it affects our body, it affects our mind, it affects our spirit. And I just want you to know that this is real. And you are engaged in a worthy struggle. And don't let anybody tell you that this is not a legitimate addiction. It is. And God bless all of you. And just keep living in 10, 11, and 12 and keep coming back. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Britt V. Okay, Margot P. is up next. And then Terry H. will be our last share today. So, Margot P., please go ahead.
Thank you. My name is Margot. I haven't shared for a while. I've been on emotional crazy area of crazy with my food plan being sloppy. And I'm grateful for this because my sponsor got me back on reading the other opinions, doctor's opinions, and more about alcoholism. And then when I got into this call and I hear this paragraph, I said, oh, my God, I done all that. I tried all these methods. It never worked. I remember my younger years, I did this diet program, pills. And I lost so much weight. But then the pills were making me jittery, more nervous. But I came addicted to it. And so finally, I had to stop taking that because it was killing me. So I went back to the food. And I realized, you know, that I don't know what I was doing. But I went to eating and kept gaining weight. And then it triggered. It triggered more with my sugar. It triggered more with my carb. It triggered more eating. And, you know, I lost everything about my knowledge. I didn't realize I had a session of the mind. I didn't realize about the allergy. Understanding this material of the big book, I am so grateful to know that I'm not alone, that I have this allergy. And that... And it's helping me to understand more about me. I know I cannot do it alone. And hearing everybody sharing, because it's like everybody share what I share. It's like what they share, I relate. You know, I really, I used to drink. I used to have party when I was young, in my younger years, you know. And so for today, I don't have to do none of that. Today, I have to stay in the program. But it's one day at a time, and I don't have to be slipping and sliding. I don't have to be slopping. I don't have to be going to many relapses that I've done in my past. And so understanding this is just one day at a time. Thank you, and I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Marco P. And Terry H. or A.H., you are up next. You'll be our final speaker.
Yes, good morning.
Today.
Yep.
Hi,
good morning,
Terry A.
Good morning, Elaine.
Hi.
Good morning, A Vision View. My name is Terry A.H., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Maine. I'm so happy to be with you guys this morning. This is one of my favorite paragraphs, more about, you know, the title is more about alcoholism, and, you know, I call it more about trying to control it, or, you know, the ISM step, you know, stands for incredible short memory. And it's all about identifying, and especially if I don't know who I am, I can... you know, absolutely identify in who I'm not. And so I like to flip this paragraph, and I would read it like normal people don't have to eat one meal only. They don't think about it. They don't have to think about limited the numbers of sweets or starches. They don't have to think about, you know, eating alone or eating during business hours or switching from regular foods or to health foods or, you know, eating only fruit or whatever. They also don't have to think about a diet as part of a bet or an agreement. And they don't ever have to swear off particular treats or take a trip or have to take a solemn oath or, you know, even have to go to health farms or get shots or go to pill routes or, you know, end up in sanitariums. And they don't have to read inspirational books about obsessing about going to the gym for exercise. So, for someone like me, this is really a lot of work, and because I have to get that my delusional thinking is about wanting to be like normal people, and when I think that I'm, you know, going to that delusional thinking that I want to be normal, it's really saying that I want to be cured. And for me, you know, this whole paragraph, I have to see my truth, because if it's never been an issue for me, I don't ever try to attempt to control it. So this is really about, I have to have my delusional thinking smashed, as you know, as it says in the previous paragraphs, that it has to be smashed, or I'm going to continue to try to figure out how to continue to control it. And this is really about more about relapse. And you know, for someone like me, I have to be out of all ideas. So thanks for letting me share, and it's nice to be with you guys today.
Thank you so much. Great to have you, Terry. Wonderful share. Wonderful shares throughout this meeting. Thank you, everyone who shared. We're now going to transition the meeting by reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Lorraine N. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Good morning. Lorraine N. from Oregon. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.